Hey there, Bet Blast podcast listeners. Before we jump into this week's episode, I wanted to let you know that DVM 360 is now accepting nominations for our fourth annual Veterinary Heroes Awards. We at DVM 360 appreciate all the hard work and dedication that veterinary professionals put into improving the lives of patients, and we are honored to recognize one person from each category: client service representative, credentialed veterinary technician, dentistry, dermatology, emergency medicine, feline medicine, general practitioner, internal medicine, practice manager, surgery, and veterinary paraprofessional. Keep in mind that these are peer-to-peer nominations, so you are encouraged to nominate any veterinary professional, no matter what your specialty is. Nominations end April 15th, so don't forget to nominate your veterinary superhero. Check out DVM360.com to learn more, and the link to nominate will be in today's show notes. Thank you, and enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
We talk a lot about AI technology in veterinary medicine, but we're going to go there even further and talk about how it's working in diagnostic procedures in veterinary medicine. And joining us is Petco's CMO, Dr. Whitney Miller, to chat with us more about it. How are you, Dr. Miller?
I'm doing wonderful today. Adam, how are you?
Hey, I'm ready to learn. I love me some technology, my friend.
I don't always understand it, but I love it.
Yeah, me too. I feel like I was born in the wrong generation, but that's okay. I love it. So a little information about our wonderful colleague here, Dr. Whitney Miller. Fueled by her passion for making a positive impact in pets' lives, Dr. Miller serves as Petco's chief veterinarian. In that role, she is the lead veterinary subject matter expert advising Petco as a health and wellness company and overseeing the company's standards of excellence in animal care and welfare, providing strategic direction and medical management for their growth in veterinary services, and provides cross-functional support across the company to marketing, communication, legal, merchandising, pet services, and more. Dr. Miller leads the Petco medical team, which supports over 200 full-service hospitals and mobile vaccination clinics, operating in over 1,000 pet care centers nationwide. In addition, Dr. Miller is a member of the Pet Wellness Council of Petco, an independent coalition of leading experts in veterinary science and animal care that serve as an external source of unbiased advice and counsels to Petco on a range of topics across the pet care industry. The PPWC is what it's referred to, also guides the development and aggregation of credible pet care science to educate professionals and who care about pets. Dr. Miller received her DVM and MBA degree from Colorado State University and has been board certified in preventative medicine since 2018. Dr. Miller continues to practice companion animal medicine every chance she gets. Hey, by the way, Dr. Miller, see that you're board in preventative medicine. We do a lot of work with the American College of Veterinary Preventative Medicine. Did you know that?
I see some of it. I won't say that I know of it all, but definitely, some of the ways we cross paths.
Yeah. Important. Well, we got to give a shout out to them because they do a great article, usually monthly, in the DVM 360 publication called A Pocket Full of Prevention. It's really great education that's out there. So to our listeners, I invite you to tune in and take a read there. It's great. So, okay, so let's talk about it. So AI, I know some people get a little scared when they hear about that. You know, let's kind of back up a little bit and tell the listeners some examples of how AI is being used and maybe some cases of how it's leading to better health outcomes in our pets.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, from a kind of both personal and Petco standpoint, really, we made a huge commitment at the beginning of this year, and we rolled out to all of our full-service general practices the AI radiology technology. So that's really where we're kind of, I don't know if I'm dipping the feet in is the right term since we went big scale at the start, but definitely we're still learning a ton in how to apply that to the day-to-day case workup for our veterinarians. So Adam, I mean, you know, when you're working up cases, you're taking those radiographs. Typically, if you want or would like a expert review, you're sending it off. During COVID, we saw super long lead times to get, you know, radiologist review back. Some of those are improving, but this is an almost instantaneous read on that radiograph. that our doctors can look at and leverage, again, as another tool in the toolbox. So I think kind of trying to allay that fear of AI is going to come in, replace specialists, replace our diagnostic capabilities as veterinarians, I think is not something that we advocate or even think is really going to happen. Again, we leverage it as another tool in the toolbox because it helps speed to diagnosis. It gets an unbiased opinion in there for, in this term, radiology, but obviously there's other applications as well. So that's really where we've kind of jumped into that AI fray.
Yeah, and I also think of like digital cytology, for instance, is another one that's using a lot of AI, you know, software out there. Again, not to replace us, the veterinarians or the clinical pathologists, but it's going to be used as an additional tool. Providing access to care is really a big thing, you know, because not all of us have access to a clinical pathologist a couple hours away or whatnot. But now you can use the power of AI with that. And to your point, to radiologists as well. What about in veterinary procedures, too? Because I know we can also marry that, the AI component, with some veterinary procedures. So what are some examples of how that's being used?
Well, I'm not sure if there's a specific example you're thinking about. Again, really, we're focused right now on the AI in radiology. But obviously, like you said, probably a lot of general practitioners out there, emergency practices, are looking at AI cytology. There's other things that are out there around AI within anesthetic monitoring or, you know, other applications. I think that folks are still really learning what's going on there. I've even seen technology that's pretty fascinating around mapping animal body movements and identifying things like what their body condition score is, are they in pain, as well as, you know, kind of other applications. Again, I think that that's still a little bit in its infancy. And what I'm watching is how some of those kind of early adopters, how they are validating that AI technology to some of the validated things we have in veterinary medicine, like pain scales, like, you know, different trends in anesthetic monitoring, things like that.
Yeah, I was seeing some of that with the Grimace scale, for instance, with cats. Yeah. And the Colorado State pain scoring, and how's that marrying to the AI technology that they're seeing. So pretty fancy stuff. And I know there's always that widespread concern about, you know, in across industries about AI replacing jobs or whatnot, but I'm curious to get your thoughts on, what do you believe in the future of the relationship between vets, vet techs, and AI will look like?
Yeah, so again, I come from the comfort level of, it's another tool in our toolbox. It is not going to replace the education, the experience of our veterinarians and our vet team. If anything, some of the challenges that we're seeing in our profession around, you know, veterinary workforce, vet tech workforce, all of our paraprofessionals, this is a way to lighten that burden so that we can, you know, very heavily and best leverage the labor that we have to provide that great medical diagnosis, client education, and free up some of that other time for those applications versus sitting at the microscope or, you know, spending time going through pages and pages of diagnostic workup. This is a way to ease some of that burden. And that's how I look at it.
Absolutely. I mean, I think of, we're always talking about workflow inefficiencies right now. And I agree. I think that's, it's a, such a powerful tool that can really help alleviate some of the burden for the support teams as well. So that's awesome. So I'm so curious, because I always loved talking to people that are on the show about how they got where they are today. And so I know you're with ACVPM. So what got you excited to get involved in that role? And what are some of your day-to-day activities now that you do as the CVO at Petco?
Yeah, so I mean, we could have all kinds of different conversations about my career path and different stops along the way. How I summed it up in kind of the short version is in a couple of ways. Like, first of all, it's interesting because I definitely was that kid from literally before I even remember deciding I wanted to be a veterinarian. I wanted to help animals. That was always my goal. What was interesting, though, is when you achieve your life goal at 27, then what do you do, right? So I got that DVM degree and I was like, I'm good. I've achieved my life career goal here. And I just, you know, really looked at kind of what was going to both keep me engaged long term and where I wanted to have my own impact. And that was really around large scale impact for pets and pet families. That is not to diminish the day-to-day individual care that we provide to pet families, because that is so important. Just for my long term, I knew, hey, I would be in a role where there's that larger, broader impact. Had some different stops along the way in government relations and working in drug manufacturers as well as clinical practice. Now being with Petco can really bring that all together where, you know, decisions and things that we do at Petco literally affect millions of animals' lives, both directly and indirectly. And that's something that, you know, really proud of, as well as, you know, keeps me super engaged with our day to day.
Yeah, it's so nice. Just to show the versatility of the DVM degree, it's pretty impressive, right? You could, between what you're doing, I'm doing, so many other people out in the country that are doing such great work in our profession. I just love it. So thank you for sharing your story. I love that. Okay, so you're at your role here at Petco. You're the chief veterinarian at Petco. Currently, I'm sure you're aware that there's a lot of challenges facing the industry in terms of access to care, and, you know, even quality of pet healthcare. So what are some opportunities and some challenges that you're experiencing with your role at Petco?
Well, I mean, we talked about it a little bit already, and it's probably what every CMO would say at this point is, again, the veterinary labor challenges, both from a just pure, you know, arguments about, do we have a true shortage? Is it a maldistribution? Whatever you call it, there is, you know, not enough labor to efficiently run most veterinary practices in this country. And most of us out there would hire, you know, tons of veterinarians if we could tomorrow. That's good for our veterinarians to have that kind of choice in the labor market. It's challenging because then what it leads to, as you referred to, is additional access to care challenges. And we want to make sure that we have really broad availability and try to meet pet parents where they're at in accessing that care. So that's what we focus on at Petco in a couple of ways. You mentioned it, as far as we have both full service general practices as well as mobile preventative care clinics. Again, trying to give that access and meet the pet parent where they're at. We also work super closely with our nonprofit arm, Petco Love, in the work that they do, both for supporting homeless pets, but also around access to care. We find that we meld those things very closely and actually very well together versus seeing conflict arise around judgment of where a pet should be receiving care. We want a pet to receive veterinary care where that pet parent's able to access it. And that's how we work through our different means of Petco Love, the mobile vaccination clinics, and our full service.
It's wonderful. I always say that too. I don't care where you get your vaccines from, as long as it's legit, of course, but just the fact that if, you know, we're going to where the client's needs are. So if it's a mobile affordable care clinic like that Petco's having with vaccinations, and I think that's fantastic, you know, because, you know, I love that we're talking more about the conversation of the modern pet parent. Either they're so busy, they have maybe physical disabilities, they can't drive. So we're really trying to go to where their needs are. So I think big shout out for your team for doing that. I think it's wonderful.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, I'm definitely not going to take all the credit. We have amazing teams out there in all of these different aspects of meeting the pet parents where they're at and providing them care. And just from like a personal kind of mission standpoint, having done a lot of emergency medicine, I think it's something that even I have struggled with at times. And that is, you know, the judgment of folks that maybe can't afford the care that their pets need. And I've really personally tried to put that aside and instead, you know, again, spectrum of care, we could have a whole other talk about that. But also, you know, just try to leave that judgment aside of like, hey, I'm just here to help your pet, give you the options. If option is not right with being at our hospital, let me give you other resources to help access the care that you need. Because both, that's going to help the pet, help the pet parent, and hopefully drain and relieve some of that stress that we kind of put on our shoulders as veterinarians for that pet to receive the care they need.
Yeah. I call it the pop-off valve.
Yep. That's a great analogy.
Right. I know. I'm telling you. Okay. So you've done so many wonderful things in your career. What has been a recent career highlight for you, and what's something that you're passionate about advancing in the veterinary industry?
Yeah. Great question. And My team would probably tell you I could talk for hours about, you know, pulling that different threads, because I definitely get passionate whenever we're talking about, you know, how we can advance our profession. Recent career highlight, when our new CEO came to Petco about 5 years ago, he said, hey, we're going to dig in and continue to dig into expanding our veterinary services. And we want to make sure that we have an unbiased advisory council that's going to help us both expand those vet services in the right way, as well as look macro at all of the things we're doing as Petco. And so, you know, leading the initiative within Petco to recruit and bring on board multiple really amazing experts that are out there, and bringing them and putting them on our Petco Pet Wellness Council. So we meet multiple times a year. We share with them initiatives that Petco is looking at. We ask for their opinion. They have helped us build different client-facing education, client-facing marketing. They're honestly sometimes just like my bat phone of, I need a gut check on, you know, this is what we're looking at. What do you think? And so being able to engage with those amazing experts, but also from, again, a kind of how we're helping pets on a global scale, making sure that we have that independent counsel has been really critical for a lot of the decisions that we've made. And then from like a professional standpoint, I was joking with somebody internally, just looking at some of you know, what we might talk about here, because it's funny, this is actually a question I ask in every interview I do for somebody to join our medical team, is if you could look, you know, kind of that industry facing, where do you want to make impact? And for me, it's really around having vets love what they do every day. I think that a lot of the well-being stuff we're seeing, just stress, work-life balance, anxiety, depression, all of the things, they all get back to, or they can all get back to stress over, do I love what I do every day? We all chose this profession because of the amazing things that we can do. And I think there's a huge disconnect out there in making sure that we set our veterinarians up for success so that they can live that every day versus feeling like maybe this wasn't the profession I thought I was getting. Does that make sense, Adam?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I hear it often because when I do the continuing education events from around the country, you know, we chat with veterinarians all over, and, you know, it's a pretty common, you know, sentiment that we feel every now and then. But at the same token, we always say we're all blessed to be doing our why and our purpose. You know, not many people can find their purpose in life still. They either feel lost or what their calling is. But you and I and many of our colleagues, oh, it's a, you know, comes from within your heart. And so it's truly an honor to be doing something that you genuinely love. So when you have those rough days, listeners, and you really get challenged or whatever, remember, you're doing something that you were meant to do.
Yeah. And I, both from within the veterinary profession and just, you know, trying to pay attention to different, quote, leadership gurus, if you want to call it, having your support system, I think is key. Cause when you have those bad days, sometimes you just need to vent, or, you know, sometimes you just need to be like, hey, I'm glad you're in my life. And they pump you up and they make you remember again, why, we put in the long hours, we, you know, deal with some of the client stress, the level of education we have to continue to keep up with, all of the things, balancing our family. I mean, there's a lot of things. And if I've learned anything, it's just that to allow myself the time and space when there's tough days, but also to have that support system that I know is there for me to, whether it's commiserate or, you know, help me remember why I chose this and the great things that we accomplish every day.
Love it. Well said, my friend. Well said. Well, I'm so glad you're finally able to connect and get you on the show, Dr. Miller. So nice having you. And thank you to our friends at Petco for organizing all this. I was like, I got to chat with her. I got to meet her. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Absolutely. I appreciate the invite.
You're welcome. And thank you to our friends for tuning in. Don't forget to rate this podcast, as always, helps us out significantly as we grow and continue on. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.